Okay, well, hey, we're living in an environment now, and we're going to be living in this environment for a long time, where we need to recover the whole biblical doctrine of the family and the practices of the family. And it's a long war. It's a war that we're going to need to continue to wage with our sons, our grandsons, and those that come after them if we survive them. And it's just critical that we reform our families according to Scripture. And it's one of the most powerful things a man can ever do with his life. And I pray that God has some men, maybe even here, you know, at this retreat, who are just hearing some of this stuff for the first time. And all I can tell you, brother, is, you know, you'll see the blessing of God like you've never seen it before, if you're able to bring your family into conformity to the Word of God. It's such a blessing, and I can point to so much fruit. It's not even funny. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, stay the course, press on. Now, I want to, you know, our ministry tries to produce resources and conferences, and it connects people and churches for the recovery of biblically ordered churches and biblically ordered families. That's really what we're pressing our energies toward. And so we've produced some resources, and I want to tell you about a couple of them. One we just released. It's a book called Early Piety, and this is a book that is really a great resource for children raised in Christian homes who are in their teens. And what the context of the publishing of this book was that I was introduced by a friend to a series of sermons that were preached in Boston in 1721. Cotton Mather and his father, Increase Mather is 84 years old, and I think Cotton Mather is 58 years old. They're losing the rising generation. The generation of the Puritans came. It was a godly generation. They all recognized that God had done a remarkable work. But by the time you get to 1721, you know, 100 years later after the Pilgrims landed, the rising generation was apostatizing. And so they realized that they needed to bring families together to preach the gospel, particularly with this rising generation. And so they delivered 8 sermons in Boston in 1721, gathering families together, just like if our gathering had, you know, all families together, the preachers were there to preach to the families in order particularly to establish the rising generation and to preach the gospel to the rising generation. It's a really fantastic resource. I actually recently preached a sermon on each one of these chapters about 30 minutes long as kind of an introduction. But I highly recommend this for parents to either... I think the best use of this book is for parents to read it out loud with their teenage children. It's just really, really helpful. Early Piety, A Call to the Rising Generation. It's back in our book table. Also, it's so critical that we end up with marriages for the glory of God, marriages that are a picture of the gospel. You can't have a family really very well that's a picture of the gospel unless you have a marriage that has some semblance of the declaration of the gospel in it. And so thank you. Appreciate that. we also republished last year with Joel Beakey this Building a Godly Home series. It's three volumes. This volume is about marriage. And in this volume is a chapter on husbands. It's the best thing that's ever been written on husbands. That's my opinion, okay? And so I gathered together some men to discuss this chapter on video and audio. Joel Beakey and Sam Waldron and Jeff Pollard and Derek Thomas and I discussed these chapters for husbands. Don't leave home without it. It's really, really good. William Googe was the premier... He wrote the premier book on child raising for about 200 years. It's a big old fat thing. And so we reduced it down to 3 volumes, and I tried to make the language a little bit less Puritan. you know, paragraph long sentences and stuff like that. And I know there are guys here that have heard this series, and they'll tell you it's really helpful. You'll hear things that you don't hear modern writers talk about. You know, if you want to learn how to have a family according to the Word of God, you know, the 20th century is probably not the best place to go. Okay, it was the 20th century that we destroyed the family. Okay, and the church helped out, and they did a great job, and we're recovering from it. We need to recover it back. Now, here's a book that I also wrote a few years ago called Preparing Boys for Battle. This is a project my son and I engaged in. I wrote the copy, but my father was a pilot on the island of Iwo Jima, and he had told me all these stories about what happened on Iwo Jima. And so what I did was I took those stories and I wrapped them around all the stuff I tried to teach my own son, preparing boys for battle. And what if you read this book, here's what you get. I mean, you will understand the battle for Iwo Jima and what happened there. And, you know, here's some of the titles. Mount Suribachi. That's a great chapter. Life in a Foxhole. The Terrors of Flamethrowers. But these are just stories from, you know, from men who are on Iwo Jima. But I took those stories and I collected under each story scripture and a principle for preparing your boy for battle, because you need to prepare your boy for battle, spiritual battle in this world. And so I recommend that. Okay, now I'm supposed to talk about family worship, and they chose the wrong guy to talk about family worship, because my input in your life on family worship, you know, could be like about a 30-second training clip here, okay? Because it's not that complex. My encouragement to families is to go simple. And so, you know, I've had a lot of people come to me and say, you know, how do you teach, you know, the men around you how to have family worship? And I said, look, we give them a 30-second training session and we're done. That's it. 30 seconds. And here's the training session. You just need to do a few things. First of all, you need to take your Bible and you need to open your Bible with your family. And then you read it. And then you ask everybody, what wondrous things did they observe from God's law? And then pray for each other. And it's really neat if you could sing a song. So there he is. You're trained. You're done. You get no more training. You just need to go do that, right? I mean, I really do believe that simplicity is the essence of wisdom for this whole matter of family worship. The problem really isn't technique. It's really motivation. So if you don't love God and the Word of God, if you don't think it's the primary and the sweetest solution for everything, you'll never do it. But if you do, if you think that it's what your family needs, if you really honestly believe that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, if you really believe that with all your heart, and it is like Moses said, these things shall be in your heart, like if it's really in your heart, you'll do it. If it's not, you won't. Nobody can help you with that. And that's why I don't think men need a big, complex training session on it. So, you know, I really do think 30 seconds is about enough to train a guy in this whole matter. You know, just some top-level encouragements from me to you on this. Number one, make the Word of God the central book in your family. Don't let any other book edge it out. Don't let any other thing edge it out. Don't let any other entertainment or sport or friend or hospitality or any Christian thing, do not let other stuff edge it out. And make the Word of God central. Be satisfied with the Word of God. Hey, the Word of God is mighty. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the best thing you have. It's better than your words. And if all you do is even just deliver the words of God to your family, It's diamonds. It's gold. That's what you've done. You've laid out treasures from heaven when you've done that. And a lot of guys think, you know, I don't know how to preach. Fine, you don't have to know how to preach. You just need to know how to read, you know, and ask God to fill your mouth with wisdom about what you just read. But you know, you have the written Word of God. You know, John Calvin believed that when the Word of God was read in the church, God was speaking in the church. And when the Word of God is read in your house, God is speaking. Almighty God's voice is being heard. And so to have the Word of God central is the most fundamental, important thing that you can do in your family. And when you do that, everything changes. It changes your whole framework of life. So make the Word of God central. Secondly, delight. The Word of God is delightful, and you should find every ounce of delight you can when you open up the Word of God. When we would open up the Scriptures when my children were growing up, my number one objective is that they would see the beauty of the Lord, that they would see how great, how kind, how majestic, how remarkable, how wise, how brilliant, how beautiful, how life-giving, how sweet, how powerful. I wanted them to see the majesty of God. You know, we're forgetful people, you know. You can memorize things and then 10 years later you don't remember half of it, right? But here's what you need to know: the majesty of God. The majesty of God is something that lives in your heart regardless of how good your memory is about all the details. I think you should learn the details. You should learn the facts of the Bible and all that kind of stuff, but I would just really encourage you to make delight the primary thing. And then, you know, family worship should probably change as your children change, as their ages shift. When they're really little, it's different than when they, you know, when they get a little bit older. And what we did is that when our kids were really little, we kept stuff really simple in the sense that we would read the Bible. We would open up and we might read a chapter or a short section. And we would try to have them memorize a little piece, a little tiny piece. That's really powerful. I think that's really critical. Especially when they're little, and then we sang. So that's what we did when they were really little. But when they started getting around 4 years old, you know-ish, we started reading the Bible through. And for for over a decade, we read the Bible, you know, every year. And our kids kind of learned how to read by reading the Bible, too, because, you know, one child could read like two or three words. We'd have them read those two or three words. But when everybody got where they could read, everybody reads five verses, right? We just go around, everybody reads five verses. So we used our reading of the Bible to help our kids learn how to read and how to pronounce words and things like that. But our family worship wasn't very fancy. You know, you can learn how to do it in 30 seconds. And I believe that the Word of God was powerful. And I wasn't. So I was content to read the Word of God. Oh, by the way, you know what? Sometimes your children, your wife, especially your wife, are going to ask you questions you do not know the answer to. And it's extremely riveting. It's very embarrassing, you know, because you're supposed to, you know, have everything. So here's what I did. I had a Bible a little bit like this. It was a MacArthur Study Bible. That was my ace in the hole. So, you know, my six-year-old is asking me a question I don't even know the answer to. And thank the Lord, there's the answer right there in the commentary section of the MacArthur Study Bible. I loved it. It was great. So there it is. There's my deal on family worship.